TMZ TV.
For I want you to perceive, says our Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 2. I want you to perceive what the struggle amounts to, which I am having for your sakes and for those in Laodicea, and whoever have not seen my face in flesh, that their hearts may be consoled, being united in love, and to all the riches of the assurance of understanding, unto a realization of the secret of God, the secret of the God and Father of Christ, in whom all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are concealed, except to us. Now I'm saying this that no one may be beguiling you. Good morning, everyone. This is Martin Zender broadcasting from my car in an alley in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, awaiting with you the return of Jesus Christ, not for Israel with great signs, thunder, lightning, judgments, bowls, wrath. No, not that, but a secret return of Christ through the back door, if you will, to withdraw his ambassadors of peace from the earth before he declares war upon the earth, in order to bring the earth to a knowledge of himself. And for the earth, as I was telling you yesterday, there are many people on this planet, the majority, overwhelming majority, who have a very little bitty amount of spirit, and because of that, they are dead, figuratively dead, to the things of God, because they are trapped in the trap that pervaded the world in the days of Noah. That is, they were going about their daily business. They were immune to the things of the spirit. They're as dumb beasts going to slaughter, right? They're slogging through. They're not thinking. They're going with the flow. They're checking the prevailing winds and they're going with the flow. And this applies to the worldly people as well as the religious people. They are also going with the flow, except they're more deceived than the worldly people, because they're going with the flow of popular religion, which defiles and defames the name of God and Christ. Now, Paul wants the Colossians to perceive what the struggle is. And you know me, I have always been transparent with you. I've never hidden my moods from you, my depression. I have never tried to present myself as something other than what I am. It's because I want you to perceive the struggle. I want you to see, because I guess it's nice to share it, because the body of Christ, we're to bear one another's burdens. Yesterday I talked to you about the body of Christ. Today is another message, really, concerning the body of Christ. I want you to share my burdens, and I want and I do share your burdens, because if we don't care about each other, who else will? The rest of the world thinks we're crazy. We know we're not. We're in a unique position of being the next big thing God is going to do upon this earth. There are so few of us that, again, we are bucking a large trend. Mm-hmm. And the trend is toward aeonian death. Paul wants you to perceive what the struggle amounts to, which I am having for your sakes. Yes, I have a parallel here with Paul, and that I also am struggling daily, not only for your sakes, but it is my desire to, at the end of this eon, bring as many people as possible into the body of Christ. And those who have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be consoled, being united in love. That's what I talked about yesterday. There are many of you, most of you, who have not seen my face in the flesh. And yet, because of this wonderful technology, you are able to see an image of me on the screen. Sounds a little spooky, but I'm a benevolent, benign guy. So it's all good. I bring you information, and we are learning things in the scriptures, not so that we can be smarter than anybody else or have an arrogance so we can condescend to people who don't know as much as us, but so that we can be united in love, not only with love toward one another. And many people think this is the missing piece of those who pursue God intellectually. But I'm sorry, that's the way God reveals himself, intellectually, with words. As I've said before, the one who understands the laws of language the most will get the most revelation. Yes, of course, in conjunction with God's Spirit, but it's the Spirit of God that works with our mind. Paul says in Romans 12:3, we're changed by the renewing of our minds, not the removal of our minds, okay? I never ask you to remove your mind, and Paul's going to get into this very soon here. I'm going to read this to you. So, I want your hearts to be consoled. I'm still here. My heart is consoled knowing that you're still out there. Misery loves company, but we also have a common expectation that we share, and we are to talk about this. We are to look at each other as best as we can, and sometimes this electronic means is the best that we can. Even though I think I'm going to do a conference in Richmond, Virginia on May 11th, Saturday, May 11th. So one-day conference. It's not official yet. I will make it official soon, I think. It's very tempting. They're offering to fly me up there for one day. I will be the only speaker, so it's guaranteed to be a great conference. That's the only way to guarantee it, is if I'm the only speaker. That's a joke. But, you know, I like to tweak those who think that I have a Messiah complex. How dare you people think that? Okay, listen to this. Paul wants to console you, being united, and I do too, being united in love to all the riches and the assurance of understanding. You see, he keeps bringing in mental processes here. He wants you to be consoled. You might think that's an emotional process, but no, consolation is based on information. Consolation is based on information. Otherwise, you have a vapid, vaporous hope. We don't rely on hopes. We rely on expectations, and expectations come from a written revelation of what God and Christ are doing, unto a realization of the secret of God the Father of Christ, in whom all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are concealed, but to us they are being revealed. I want to give you this secret once again, because Paul mentions it here, so I'm going to cross-reference here. Paul wants us to be united in love and united to all the riches of the assurance of understanding, unto a realization of the secret of God in Christ. By understanding the secret of God in Christ and your part in it, this information will give you assurance. Assurance that God is not a liar, assurance that you're not crazy, assurance that I'm not crazy, and assurance that Paul wasn't crazy, and that God is indeed revealing his secrets to us. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. Speaking of the grace, I'm in verse 8 of Ephesians 1. Speaking of the grace which God lavishes on us in all wisdom and prudence, I read this to you last week, making known to us the secret of his will, in accord with his delight, which he purposed in him to have an administration. This is our assurance. We are assured here that we will have an administration of the complement of the eras to head up all in Christ. Again, I said this is one of the biggest, if not the biggest verse in the scripture, speaking about our future. Martin, what are we going to be doing in heaven? I get that question a lot. What are we going to be doing? This is what we're going to be doing. We're going to be completing the eras, the times, and the universe. We're going to be heading up everything, every antagonistic spirit, any antagonistic person, any antagonism whatsoever. We are going to clean up, and we're going to do it by grace. We're going to do it in the name of Christ. We are going to be powerful, powerful beings in the celestial realm, operating with the authority Christ and with the name of Christ, because we're the body of Christ, and the malevolent, disobedient spiritual forces will jump at our words. Jump. Get used to it. You have great power. I'm going to go back to Colossians, and Paul is going to warn you not to be despoiled from this assurance. There are many things that can talk you out of the assurance I just talked about. There are many things, even within the body of Christ, there are bad teachings which can snag you. They're very seductive. And, you know, I have been set on the parapet as a watchguard, a watchdog, a guard against anything which will beguile you and seduce you away from your expectation, away from your assurance. This is why Paul brings up in Colossians about seeing him face to face. He wanted, the guy traveled everywhere, and traveling was a real pain in the neck back in Paul's days. Not too slick today either. But Paul wanted to be there and look at people in the eye, to assure them that everything was great, that everything was good, to make sure they understood what he was saying. When he couldn't go, he sent Timothy, he sent Epaphras, he sent his friends to make sure that everybody was on the same page, that they were united in love, that they had kept hold of the assurance, that they understood the secret of Christ. I'm making sure you understand that here. We're going to head up all in the Christ. We are going to fill up the eras, head up all in the Christ, both that in the heavens and that on the earth. In him, in whom our lot was cast, right? Our lot, our future, our fortunes are cast in him. Where he goes, we go. This is what I talked about yesterday with baptism. It's an identification with Christ. I should have expanded that a little bit. I'm doing it now. To be baptized with Christ is to go where he goes. You're identified. That's what baptism did. It identified you with a person or a cause or truth. Some were baptized into John. Later, they were baptized into Jesus Christ. Baptism of the Spirit makes you aware of what the hell you're doing, why you're being baptized, what the baptism is. Our baptism is found in Romans chapter 6. We were baptized in Christ's death. That is, our old humanity was considered to have been killed with Christ, dead. This is why we're so happy and free. This is why we can smoke cigarettes and drink whiskey and have fun and talk, because we're not worried constantly that we're going to do something to screw up our salvation because our old humanity died. Yes, that's identity with Christ. So, in whom our lot was cast, right? Christ, in whom our lot, our fortunes were cast onto him. This starts out bad because we were crucified with Christ. That sounds bad. However, newsflash, Jesus Christ rose from the dead 3 days later. So now it's pretty good to be tied up with him. Not so good when he was hanging on the cross. Guess what? You're tied up with Christ on that cross. You're nailed to the cross with Christ. Ouch. Ouch. But turn that coin over real quick, because we're also resurrected with Christ. We are now, in a figure of speech known as prolepsis, that is, calling what is not as though it were, but someday soon, perhaps this afternoon, we will be literally resurrected. No, vivified. That is life beyond the reach of death and identified with Christ. And there we shall always be with Christ, right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And Christ is going to head up the universe, and we are doing it with his authority. And what we say goes. Our word is the word of Christ. Did you hear that? Our word, not now, but then. When we are snatched away, given the mind of Christ, our word will have the authority of Jesus Christ behind it. What we say goes. And these beings will fall in line at our word. Back to Colossians. We're going to find out what could wreck this for you. What can wreck it for you is you can have your understanding of this stolen. You could be seduced out of it. Yes, you can. You can't lose your salvation. You're not going to lose being a member of the body of Christ, but you will lose your peace. You will lose your assurance. This is what the struggle Paul had was. He struggled to make sure this didn't happen because he loved the people he was teaching. He wanted to see their faces. He wanted to see every one of them, but he couldn't. So he wrote letters, sent his friends, and he wants their hearts to be consoled. This is a troubling world we live in. Paul has no idea how bad it is now. I mean, it was, I'm telling you, it would be a lot easier to live in Paul's day than today. Don't think any different. Paul is going to like fall over himself, like congratulating us for making it through the tail end of this frickin' wicked eon. He's going to like, yeah, how'd you guys do it? Man, what faith? Yeah, we haven't seen Christ. We haven't been blinded by the glory like he was on the road to Damascus. We haven't raised anybody from the dead. We haven't seen anybody raised from the dead. I haven't healed any lame people lately. So it's tough for us. So Paul wants the whole body of Christ to be united in love and united to all the riches. And what I just read you in Ephesians was riches. This is treasure. I don't care how poor you are in this life, how much money you have or you don't have. This is transcendently higher than anything you could have in this life. In whom all the treasures, think of that word, treasures. You think of a pirate movie and the pirates put their, I got the treasure, and they're just bringing up the doubloons, pieces of eight out of the chest and letting them run over, and they just like take a bath in the loot. That is sick. That's sick. This is true treasure. I don't emphasize that word enough, treasure. This is treasure. Christ, in whom all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are concealed, and yet he reveals it to his friends. Don't forget that. It is being revealed to us. Now I'm saying this. I also am saying this. Paul is saying this, and I, Martin Zender, today in the year 2019, which is also the year 5991 from Adam, I am saying this to you, that no one may be beguiling you with persuasive words. For even if in flesh I am absent, nevertheless in spirit I am with you, rejoicing and observing your order and the stability of your faith in Christ. As then you accepted Christ Jesus the Lord, be walking in him, having been rooted and being built up in him and being confirmed in the faith according as you were taught, superabounding in it with thanksgiving. And also I want you to beware that no one should be despoiling you, that is, robbing you through philosophy, empty seduction, in accord with human tradition, in accord with the elements, the most meager, irrelevant things in this world. I don't want you to succumb to that philosophy, to the elements of the world, and not in accord with Christ. I want you to be founded, rooted, grounded in Christ, for in him the entire complement of the deity is dwelling bodily. Jesus Christ is the perfect image of God, and what God is manifested through Christ, and you are complete in him. You're complete in Christ right now. Nothing needs to be added to you. You are complete. Not a ritual, not a philosophy, not a second blessing. You don't need any spiritual manifestation. You don't need any secret wisdom beyond what I gave you. You are complete in him who is the head. The same one you are complete in is the head of every sovereignty and authority, in whom you were circumcised. Martin, I'm not a Jew. How do you mean I'm a circumcised? I'm a woman. How the hell was I circumcised? You were circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands. This circumcision was not made with hands. It's the stripping off of the body of flesh in the circumcision of Christ. What is the circumcision of Christ? It is not having any confidence in the flesh. That's what the literal circumcision was about in Israel. Stripping off of a little piece of the flesh as a token that no one was to have any confidence in the flesh. And so if our old humanity was crucified with Christ, which it was, then there goes flesh. There goes flesh. How can we even pretend to be confident in something that went to the tomb with Jesus Christ to be seen no more? Can't. So the stripping off of the body of flesh in the circumcision of Christ happened. Not only was Christ our baptism, he was our circumcision. All these Israel rites were a type, were a shadow of the reality. And when the reality comes, you don't need the shadow anymore. In fact, it's insulting to the reality to go back to the shadow. When you see what baptism is, an identification with Christ, and when Paul says in Ephesians 6, we were crucified with Christ, it is an insult to the reality to go back to the type, to the shadow. Once you see that, you're telling me you're going to jump into a lake and have some yo-yo minister with a diploma put water over your head? What? That is a slap in the face to the reality. And any kind of fleshly rite, including circumcision, including but not strictly, not strictly limited to circumcision, it's all a waste of time. It's a waste of effort. It's an insult to the completion. Remember what I just told you. You're complete in him. I've been reading scripture the whole time, by the way. Wanting to make it real to you from me, as it was from Paul to the Colossians, because the same truth applies to you. This truth hasn't aged. It is as vital and alive now with me telling it to you as it was when Paul told it to the Colossians. I'm carrying on. I and others are carrying on this word. Because again, it's as alive and applicable to you today as it was to the Colossians. Isn't that amazing? The Colossians heard the very words. I'm reading from a literal version. They heard the very words I'm now giving to you. Wow, that is amazing. It goes down the line. It goes down the line. We're going to meet these people someday. And you know what? We're going to hit the ground running with them because we're all marching to the same spirit. We're all initiated into the same secret. We all serve the same head. And our apostle is the same Paul. So when we see these people, the Colossians, those from Ephesus, the Galatians, the Corinthians, we are going to know them. And it will be as if there were no intervening centuries or millennia. Hell's bells. So I can't wait to see these people. And we got to be up to speed with them, right? We are not going to be found short. We will be established, we will be rooted, we will be grounded like they were. I don't want us, you and me, I don't want us to meet them in the air and somehow we had dropped the ball or somehow I had failed to exhort or we had failed to remind ourselves daily of the expectation of the secret. No, we want to fly with those people, right? Those people had Paul teaching them, so for God's sakes. This is a similar struggle, and so we can't drop the ball. I'm not going to drop the ball. We are running the last lap of the race that these people started, and we're all going to win.